Going back to step four, where we were at last week, faith always has a good report, doubt has an evil report, and to believe is a choice. You know, we always are faced with choices. Every day we're faced with choices, and I forget what they said, how many choices we make in one day. It was in the thousands of choices that we make every day. We can choose to believe or we can choose to doubt. I mean, it's really that simple. Victory is not a choice, is a choice, not an accident. And failure is a choice and not an accident. Okay, did you hear me? Victory is a choice, not an accident. Failure is a choice, not an accident. It just doesn't come along. I didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what? I'm going to fail today. I think I will fail today. But when we don't, believe God's word, you know what we're saying? I'm wanting to fail. I'd rather believe this report over here than what God's word says, and I'm making a choice to fail. Okay? Now, going back here, doubt has an evil report. Doubt has an evil report. That was in Numbers, I believe, Numbers chapter 13, verse 32, where the spies came back and God called it an evil report. He said that the unbelief was evil. So when you can tell if you always have an evil report or a doubt, and that's because you'll always be looking at the worst. The worst case scenario of, wow, this could happen and I could lose this, and you know, so you can tell where you're at spiritually is if you're always looking at the worst. Well, this could happen. Well, you know, I live in this world and I may lose my job. I may, you know, this may happen, and you know, it's, you know, I did that one time. I said, well, this may happen, and God spoke to me very clearly. He said, did it happen? I said, no, it didn't. He said, then why do you keep dwelling on it? So the negative, always looking at the worst. Now, I think the majority, as I prayed about this, the majority, and I know I've done this, in my life, early in my Christian walk, I would pay more attention to the evil report because the evil report appeals to the senses. It appeals to what I can see and what I can feel and what I can touch and what I can hear. And that's why I think I was always drawn to that, because I was a sense being. And you know, that's one of the things that the Bible teaches us, that we're not to be led by our senses, right? We're not to be led by our senses, but we're to be led by God's Spirit. That's what leads us, okay? Is God's Spirit leads us. And as I prayed and prayed about this, you know, there's a lot of evil reports out there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me about the church in general here just lately. I know Matt gave that message last week about the reason why a lot of people don't get their prayers answered is because of their relationship with the Father. Simply our relationship with the Father. But, you know, as I prayed and I asked the Lord about this, and He said a lot of times people give more attention to that evil report. We give more attention to it because we're bombarded. We're constantly bombarded with it. And one of the things that he mentioned in that book, and I laughed at it. I thought it was funny because he said that there was a lady when he pastored the church, when he pastored his church back in 1949, I believe. This lady would listen to the soap opera on the radio because that's all they had at that time. And she said that she wanted prayer for that lady on the soap opera because she was going through a trial. And she thought that that was reality. I thought that was kind of funny how you can take things and look at it and say, hey, that's reality. But, you know, our relationship with the Lord, that's reality, and His Word is reality. Okay? This is reality. You know, we have to make the decision to win and not fail. And we have to pay attention to the good report because it says in Proverbs 4:1, hear my sons. Now, what does the Bible say about us at this present time? Now you are the sons of God. right? And when you get born again, you are now the sons of God. Pay attention to the good report. He says, hear the instruction of a father and pay attention in order to gain and know intelligent discernment, comprehension and interpretation of spiritual matters. For I've given you good doctrine, what is to be received to do, not forsake my teaching. So he tells you right there that we're to pay attention. And then in Proverbs 4:20, he says, my son, attend to my words. And he keeps saying this throughout. He says, pay attention to my report instead of the other report, to the evil report. Pay attention to the good report. Now, how did Caleb get the victory? Caleb was the only one. He paid attention to the good report. Now, if he would have sided with the spies and said, hey, you know what? These guys are right, and those people are bigger than we, and I don't think we ought to enter in, they would have never got the victory. Right? They would have never got the victory. Now, I told you I've been praying about this. Step one, step two, step three. Did I? And I'm running all around. Did I do this and did I do that? Well, as I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know what? Read Psalm 119. So I picked it up and I looked through Psalm 119 and guess what? I found all 10 steps in Psalm 119. I found all 10 in Psalm 119. So if you're having a little problem with this, here's what I suggest you do. And again, it comes back down to our relationship with the Father. I just started going through Psalm 119 and I started saying, Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I went through there and I started praying that, just like the psalmist prayed it. And I found all 10 of those steps. You see, it's our relationship. As I lay in bed sometimes talking to the Lord and I wake up early or early in the morning or late at night, I'm laying there and I'll talk to the Lord just like I talk to you all. And I felt impressed this morning that I should tell you how I pray. I'm just going to simply tell you how I communicate with the Lord and my relationship with Him. In this psalm, in Psalm 119, you'll find it where it acknowledges the truth. Where the psalmist acknowledged, he said, thy word is truth. It's settled forever in heaven. You will find where it says in there that that his word is his delight. And one of the steps in this book told us was to delight. We're supposed to desire the thing when we pray for it, right? Well, here, if you read on this, he mentioned it several times how he desired God's word and he desired God's statutes. Now, there was something as I was praying this last week. Actually, it was, I don't know if it was this last week or a week ago, but I was praying and I was laying there and I said, Lord, I want, and you know, I've gone through this so many times, it's become secondhand nature to me. Going over some of this stuff. As I read this book again, there was a couple things I changed, but it's been second nature to me because I've been over these principles so many times. Well, as I was laying there praying, and I said, Lord, I would like for more of your power to flow through me. I would like more of your power to flow through me, Lord. And you know, the Lord took me to this, and I'm going to tell you something, a real key here. In understanding everything that's being taught on prayer here is this. When the Lord tells you something, you need to do it. If He impresses you with something, you need to do it right then. And I was praying, I said, Lord, let more of your power flow through me. And He took me right to Genesis 1:26, and I heard this in my spirit, man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And He said, you are to function like me. He said, you are to function like me. And I heard that come up in my spirit. And I said, okay, Lord, because when we studied it, when we studied this, I don't know, several months ago in Genesis 1:26, when God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, it means, one of the things it means is to function like God. That's what He created us for, is to function like Him. Okay? So I said, Lord, I know I'm supposed to function like you. So this was very interesting what He told me. And now get what I'm praying for here. I'm praying for more of God's power to flow through me. But he takes me over here to Genesis 1:26. And then he tells me, and I cannot remember everything that transpired exactly how, but I came to this conclusion. The Holy Spirit revealed it to me. He said, I want you to walk in love. I want you to practice walking in love. So now he's taken me as I prayed this, and I started praying Psalm 119. I said, Lord, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding. Well, now the Lord, I'm praying that, and he's given me understanding. He's starting to work in me to get an answer to the prayer I prayed for the power to flow through me. Okay? I want you to get this, how the Holy Spirit works and how we are to respond to the Lord. There is a response that we have to take when he starts speaking to our spirit man. So he's telling me, you have to function like me, but in order to function like him, I have to walk in love because God is love. Because he walks in love, I walk in love. And then he took me back to Ephesians chapter 5 about the analogy between a husband and a wife and Christ and the church. Okay? And now he's saying, okay, just like Christ loved the church, here's what I want you to do. So we go, Kathy goes, I want to go to a family Christian bookstore. I said, okay, let's go over there. Well, I'm standing there at the counter and the girl goes to me. She said, you know, we got these books on sale here. It was the Love Dare from Fireproof. And okay. So I went back and I messed around a little bit and I heard the Spirit of the Lord tell me, he said, pick that up. Pick that up. So I picked it up and then I started reading through it. Okay? Now, even though this Fireproof was meant for married couples, I want you to listen to how the Holy Spirit works, because now he's working through me to get the power of God to work through me. Okay? To get the power of God working through me. So I pick it up, and then I start reading this. Love works. It is life's most powerful motivator and has far greater depth and meaning than most people realize. Then he said something in here. It always does what is best for others and can empower us to face the greatest of problems. And I thought to myself, you know what? Lord, your love empowered me to succeed. Then it occurred to me that when I love my wife, it will empower her to succeed. When I love my wife, it will empower her to succeed. Now, I want you to all hear this, because this is really not just for husband and wife I'm talking about. This is really for relationships with people. Relationships with people. Now, here's how the Lord works in our prayers. And I thought this was really interesting. It went on further to say, love is built on two pillars that best define what it is. Those pillars are patience and kindness. Now listen very carefully about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love is patient, love is kind. Okay? It goes on to say that. And he says that love is built on these pillars of patience and kindness. Love will inspire you to become a patient person. When you're patient, you respond in a positive way to a negative situation. Okay? Then I went on and I'm reading this, and it goes on here on the first day that I did this. I wrote in my notes, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to share this with the church. When you're done with it, I want you to give them a copy of this book so they can all read it. So you're going to get exposed to what internally here goes on. Okay? I put on here, love empowers. When I walk in love toward my mate, it empowers her to excel for the Lord. God's love empowered me to excel. I am to be like Christ as he is to the church. He empowered the church to succeed. I can empower my wife to succeed when I'm patient. And then it says in here, did anything happen today to cause anger toward your mate? And then I put in here, I did not have anything that was negative today about my spouse. Lord, let me always remember that you never had any disparaging words for me when I make mistakes. You're always patient with me. Did you hear what I said? God never had any disparaging words for me when I made a mistake. But he tells us clearly to walk in love toward one another. patience, and kindness. And it said, I said in here, let me always remember that you never had any disparaging words for me when I made mistakes. Now, how many times, whether it's in a marriage or in a relationship, that you have disparaging words or thoughts about, negative thoughts about that person? But see, now God is trying to work with me to get His power to flow. And I'm telling you how I'm getting an answer to this prayer that I prayed. So then I go on to the second day, and I put in my notes, I like this about love. Patience avoids a problem. Kindness creates a blessing. One is preventative, the other proactive. Wow, I thought, that is cool. And then I put on here, I have never seen anyone as kind as my wife. Her kindness is genuine and attracts my attention. Her kindness has truly been a blessing to our marriage and home. If two people can walk in kindness, what a blessing. And then I put power that will be demonstrated to the world. And then I put, what act of kindness did I show today? And I'm sitting out in the garage, and I'm saying, Lord, what kind of act of kindness can I show my wife today? What act of kindness? How you told me to walk in love, and I would see your power manifest through me. And He told me this, and it came up in my spirit, and the Holy Spirit is talking to me, because you know why? Let me tell you this. Man was created as a three-part being, a spirit, a soul, and a body. And when I was born again, my spirit became that new creature in Christ Jesus. And I heard spirit. The Bible said God is a spirit, and He spoke to my spirit man, and I heard this. In Proverbs 31:28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And I asked the Lord yesterday, I said, what act of kindness can I show my wife? And when I heard that verse, I knew immediately what to do. The act of kindness, I called Kathy out to the garage, and I said, Kathy, I want you to have a seat here. And I sat Kathy down and told her what a wonderful wife she was and how much I appreciated her for all the things she does. I praised her and told her how much I loved her. It's not often I praise her. I will praise her more often to show kindness. You see, but I'm telling you how the process, how the Holy Spirit answers our prayers. The simple prayer of praying and asking the Lord, Lord, I want to see more of your power flow through me. I want to see people. Lord, I've seen many miracles. I've seen people get healed of kidney stones. I've seen people get their kidneys restored to them. Lord, I've seen cancers die. But Lord, I want to see more because I know that's your heart. Because that's why you came and you died for us, so that you could take this lost and rotten and dying world and show what the kingdom of heaven is really like. And then He started showing me. He said, I want you to walk in love. So that power, so you can empower them to succeed and have victory. So when I walk in love toward you all, then I'm empowering the church, the body of Christ, to succeed and not fail. And that's what God wants. So it's changing me, not only toward my wife, but it's changing me toward y'all and toward everyone else that I meet. See, because when I read that love, there was two pillars, patience and kindness. How many times have I not been patient? How many times have I not been kind? But God is answering that prayer to see His glory, to see His power move. Then, what happens? What happens when people start seeing God? John 6:44. Remember a few weeks ago I told you the process by which the Holy Spirit draws people to Him is that they have to see and hear about the Father. Now, if God is love, then they're going to see who? They're going to see the Father, right? They're going to see the Father, and it's going to start drawing them into a relationship with Him. They're going to hear about it. They're going to see it. And we're going to get on here to step 5. So, before I leave this, Psalm 119, I just simply went over that. I went over it last night as I was praying again. Over this, and I said, quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's the final authority. Lord, your word is the final authority, and I thank you. I don't look at these other reports of what I hear, but I only hear the report of the Lord. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations that has established the earth and it abideth. I prayed that psalm. Now, let me go on to step five. Sincerely desire the benefit you have asked of God. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You know, I can desire something, and it all comes about walking in agreement. She may not desire it, but in order to have agreement, and in order to have someone else go along with it, they've got to desire the same thing. Right? Agreement. It does no good. It does no good if one desires and the other does not. Now, one of the things I want to tell you to stay away from is, Kathy and I will agree and believe about something. Both of us have to say, I believe it, that I received it. If the other one says, oh, I hope so, that ain't going to work, okay? Both have to come into agreement that you both received it when you're in agreement with each other. Each person must desire it. Now, when I taught on here a few weeks ago how to pray for the lost, I can pray that they would see and hear about the goodness of God. I can pray that, but they're going to have to want it in order to get saved, right? They're going to have to come into agreement to get saved. The choice is theirs. I'm going through this, step five, step six, step seven, because they were rather not very lengthy. And I just picked out the things that I believe are hindrances to people when they pray. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, if is the badge of doubt. When I was first saved, I heard this, and I knew enough at that time to stay away from it. If it is in the Word of God, and you know clearly that it is the will of God, there should be no if there. God, if it be thy will. That is a badge of doubt. When I heard that, even back then, before I even read this teaching and understood this, I knew in my spirit that was not right. Because if will sink it every time. And when I was a new Christian, I would hear people say, Lord, if it be thy will, you'll heal so-and-so. They didn't understand what the will of God was concerning healing. So I stayed away from that. And I prayed according to the Scriptures. Someone mentioned, I think it was Persephone this morning in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And forget not all His benefits, who healeth all my diseases. There's not an if in there. If it be thy will. He says He'll do it, and I agree with it. You see, there's a difference there. There's a difference there. Things that you know that are clearly God's will, there should be no if. I hope so, if it's your will. That's why it's so important to get into the Word and to say, okay, Lord, I need you to show me exactly what is your will. Teach me, Lord, your statutes. Teach me and show me what is your will concerning this matter. I've been here before. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. I don't waver. One moment I believe, the next I don't. Today I believed it. It was a great service and I believed it. But now tomorrow I don't believe it. Okay? That's wavering. Make sure your conviction, and you got the Word of God to stand on and say, this is what the Word of God says. This is truth. It's settled in heaven and it's settled in my heart that this Word is true and this is what God means, and He'll do it and He'll perform it. Today I believe it and tomorrow I believe it. It's the same. It doesn't change. He doesn't change. But the problem is, there's been times I've changed. There's been times that I've changed and I said, you know what? Maybe. The report comes in and it's not so good. What I see doesn't look very good. And then I start to waver. But you can't look at that. You got to look at the Word of God. Step seven was not to tolerate for one single moment a thought to the contrary, that it is yours. And we've been over this multitudes of times, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If it is against this word, then that means it is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. That thought. And I'll give you an example. I had thoughts when I was first saved that I wasn't good enough. I would try to go to the Lord in prayer, and this is what would happen. There was these thoughts that would come in that would say, you know what? You never spent enough time in prayer today. You didn't read enough of your Bible today. And then it seemed like every day the enemy would come and say, you didn't measure up. You didn't measure up. You better try tomorrow. Because you can do better tomorrow. Well, tomorrow would come, and guess what? The same thing would happen over and over. I never measured up. Tomorrow never came. It was the same thing over and over and over. But then you know what I had to do? I had to cast down those imaginations because it was exalting itself against the knowledge of God. I said, no, I don't accept that. The Bible says this, that I am to come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need. And I replaced that thought with that word. I replaced that thought with that word. And I overcame that. Now, I thought this was very interesting. Thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teachings. Thoughts are governed by observation. How many of you it'll run through your mind, and I've done this many a time. If I'll look at a report and I'll glance at it, if that report is messy, what goes off in my mind the very first time? They didn't take enough time and they don't care. Thoughts are governed by observations. What I look around and I see. I form a thought based on what I see a lot of times. And if we're all honest, we all do that. We base our thoughts, and then our thoughts are built on what we observe. We may go to the store and see someone in front of us and look in their cart and make some, and our thoughts start running wild. Well, they're like this because they have this and this and this in their cart. Am I right? So that's why we got to be careful about letting that run wild or letting it run at all. Right? Association. Who I associate with. That forms my thought. Am I associated? What subscriptions do? What magazines do I subscribe to? What associations do I make with that? Do I watch certain programs on TV all the time and I'm making an association now? It's just like a friend. If it starts forming my thoughts. And again, this goes back to our relationship with the Father. Right? Am I more closely associated with Him or am I more closely associated with HBO? Because it's forming my thoughts. Am I more associated with the World News Tonight with Tom Brokaw or whatever? I can't remember who's on there now. Am I more associated with that? And it's starting to form my thoughts now. And teachings. I've heard teachings that are not right. But thank God for the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and show you, hey, you know what? There's something not quite right with that. And then the Bible gives us the solution to the thoughts that are contrary. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Well, what's true? The Word of God. Because it says in John 17 that the Word is truth. So now I start replacing it with what's true. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you think about, let me ask you this, When you think about your kids, and I've had to overcome this, when I think about my kids, and you see your child that's wayward and not serving Jesus Christ and don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, do you always think the worst of what's going to happen to them? Well, they're going to get busted, they're going to get this, and this is going to happen to them, and blah, 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 and it goes on and on and on. But you know what? It would do good if we started doing this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. And to think about them walking in the Word of God and walking in the promises of God and seeing them doing those things. And I'll tell you what, you know what that would eliminate? It would eliminate a lot of fret and worry, which is fear. Really. That's what it would eliminate. And just start talking to the Lord. Lord, I see them as you see them. I see them as being victorious. I see them as being successful, Lord. I start calling those things that be not as though they were, and I'm going to get into that. That's where I think a lot of people have a hard time calling those things that be not as though they were. And that's really in chapter 8 about our heritage, where we come from as believers. So, what's the cure for thoughts? Thoughts that are not, that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You know, really it's very simple. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, I start thinking upon those things. Then I get rid of the negativity. You know what? I'll tell you what. You can tell whose mind's running all around. Listen to what they say. If they're negative and they're seeing negative things all the time, their mind's wandering to those bad reports, to the evil report, to unbelief. Am I not saying what's true? It's true. Because if your mind is focused on the truth, the Word of God, it's not going to run off and say a bunch of negative things all the time, right? That's that simple. Now, I did not mean for this teaching to be step one, step two, step three, step four, and we gotta do this, and then we get all confused as to what's really going on. But there are principles in each one of these that we do have to know on how to pray right. And I believe this. I knew when I was a Christian first saved, I could get answers to my prayers just like that. But then as I grew in the knowledge of God, and now I'm more accountable to Him, and I have a responsibility now. He even mentioned in that book, and I've seen this time over time, a baby Christian can ride on someone's coattails for just a while, but then God expects them to start growing up. So God expects us to grow up and to mature. He doesn't expect us to stay little anymore. He expects us to take what He says and to do it. Right? Now, here we are. We're going to finish these next week, 8 through 10. This on step 10 is, we have a book by Jody Osteen, which is John Osteen's mother. And how she did that, Joel Osteen's mother, Dodie. She mentioned this, and that was very good what she mentioned in her book about how she acted as though she received it. And she got the victory over liver cancer. This was back in 83, I think. 1983, and she's still going strong. In fact, Hannah got a note from her a few years ago. She wrote her a personal note. So she's still going strong. Praise God. But she acted as though she'd received it, even though the manifestation wasn't there. She acted as though she received it. So like I said earlier, Psalm 119, if you look in there, you'll find all 10 of these in Psalm 119. It takes a little digging, but you can find it. You can find it. And I've prayed the Word over and over and over throughout my Christian walk, and I've seen the results of it by simply agreeing. And one thing I would recommend very, very highly is to take this and say this. You know, there, and this may sound, and I've got to look it up in the Bible, I've heard this, and I believe it's in the Old Testament, where God laughs at calamity, where He'll laugh at calamity. And I don't mean to be, it's not that I have a bad attitude or I'm crazy or whatever, but when I hear something, it's like it does not, I can honestly say it does not bother me. Because you know what comes up on the inside of me every time is the Word of God. It'll start coming up on the inside of me and it'll beat that thing down every single time. But I've taken this as a young Christian. I remember driving to work in the mornings and listening to one of the local Christian radio stations. This was back in when I first got out of college. I used to listen to this author here that wrote this book. And I would sit in my car on the way to work, and he'd say, "You need to confess. Faith always has a good report." And I'd sit there with him. "Faith always has a good report. I walk by faith and not by sight. I am a faith person. I refuse doubt. I refuse fear. I am a faith child of a faith God. My faith works. I always have a good report. I refuse an evil report. I am on God's side. He is on my side. I belong to God. I serve God. I am a child of God. I believe God. I believe God that it shall be, even as it was told me in His holy word. God's word cannot fail. I cannot fail. I am standing on the word. I am standing on the promises." And I would say things, and I still do to this day, I say that. Not that exactly, but I'll say something similar to that. "Lord, I believe your word. Oh, Lord, thank you." The first thing in the morning, I'll hear the word of God, and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for your word. I believe it's truth. Thank you, Lord." I'm telling you, that will change your life for all of eternity. Hallelujah. And it's exciting. It's exciting then to see, "Lord, wow, what else do you have out there? What else? You said you would show me in the ages to come. But He's showing us now. He's showing us now, and He's showing you now." Amen. So take Psalm 119 and read it over. Take those confessions and say them out loud. "Lord, I believe your word. It's true." ABC News is not true, I can tell you that. They're living in deception. When you live in the Word of God, you're living in reality. You're living in reality. And this is good news. No matter what time we live in, no matter where we're at, this will always overcome. God's Word and His Spirit will always overcome the situation. Hallelujah. And I have victory this morning, and I'm assured that you have victory too, because you've taken a hold of this word. And God's Spirit is speaking to y'all, I can tell. He's speaking to y'all. Now, one thing I will caution you on before I close this is this. I've told this story before. I used to work around a bunch of geologists, and they were proud of their education. They had a 6-year, 8-year education. And they spent a lot of money on those educations. But when they would come to me and they would bring in their fossils and they would say, "Mitch, this trilobite." In other words, it was before God. I'd pull out my Bible and say, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There's where your fossil falls under, is in the creation. Now, I'll caution you this. You can have certain mindsets because that's the way you've always heard something, or because I was taught this. Even with this, what he teaches in this book, I've always prayed this way as a Christian for 20 years, and you're telling me that I'm wrong now. Be careful of that. Because I've had to change some things that I had been doing for 20 years. But when we say, "You know what? I know better because I've always done it this way," we get in trouble, right? So, we'll cover the rest of those next week. And just because we stop, I'm going to keep taking little elements of each one of those chapters every time and bring it back. So we keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. What can you expect here? I'm going to be going on a study on fasting here in the near future. We're going to start talking about fasting, because this was one of the 4 things that the Lord put into my heart. So I'm into that. And then when I get done with this at the end of my 40-day thing, I'll put this out and y'all can read this. I'm not ashamed of it. You know, even though it is personal, but I want you all to see what a change that this can make and how the power of God can flow through you. Amen.